37, it's just dark. I mean, it was crazy. Of course, I had my binos because I think what he gathered me from, I probably wanted to see kind of what they were. But.
No water.
I just want to make sure I.
Oh, yeah. I scratched off a little pavlin on it already.
You guys ready?
Yeah.
Let's roll.
Let's do it.
All right, welcome everybody to the Bunkville Town Advisory Board meeting. It's November 2nd, 2017. We're going to start with prayer by Boyd and pledge by Dwayne.
Our Father in heaven, we're grateful for the opportunity to be here to meet as a Bunkville Town Board to discuss issues pertinent to the town in this area. And we pray that blessings would be with us, would watch over us, help us to make wise decisions for the future. We're grateful for the opportunity to do so. We say this in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Stand. Pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. We'll first have public comment. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about an item on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on the agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items as the time as they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board, council about items within its jurisdiction but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of the agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium if applicable. Clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of the presentation, this may be done by the chair or the board by majority vote. We will open up for items, so if you have something that's on the agenda other than the campsite and the stop sign, then this is when you'd say it. But usually we don't have anything. This is more of a Vegas thing. So they can talk and then go home. But I got to read either way. Okay, approval of the September 28, 2017 minutes.
Okay, I make a motion that we approve those minutes with the exception of under general business in item 2. It lists the action to approve to have Vernon Pollock as representative and Brian, it says Magoon, but it should say Havland, as alternate to serve on a CDAC.
That's so we could both do it. I could be the first half, you could be the last half, right?
Other than that.
We'll ask the secretary to amend that.
Okay.
And a second?
Second.
A motion and a second to approve it as noted with the one change. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries.
I don't know. I kind of like that
one. Guess I've been called worse, right?
I hope so.
Approval agenda for the November 2nd, 2017 meeting. Any changes or?
I know that we set the agenda for tonight's meeting as written.
I'll second that.
Okay, move and second that we approve it as written. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Okay, informational items none. Planning and zoning. One. UC 0849-17, Nay Keith et al. Use permit for campground. Design reviews for the following: a campground and development within the hillside area on 189.8 acres in the RU, rural open land zone, generally located at the north and south side of Nay's Ranch Road and the west side of the Nevada-Arizona state line, approximately 19 miles south of the city of Mesquite within the Bunkerville planning area. For discussion and possible action. Out of the floor.
Ed Garcia, GARCIA. I'm the consultant to the applicant. These are what I'm handing out. I apologize if they're got mislabeled here. Should have a different one. These are what we gave to planning department, so I want to make sure you have these in front of you as well. Everything that we provided to planning and zoning at the county. As stated in the staff report, this is a application for a use permit, design review for the campsite on what is, you know, commonly known as the May Ranch. I represent Mr. Rollins, who's a relative of Danae's, and I'll let him, if you want to describe kind of the family tree on that. I get a little lost on some of it, but he's recently come into possession of the property, and one of the things he wanted to do was to provide with the designation of the monument and with the people going out there and utilizing different areas, some on the ranch, some not, for overnight camping, for them to have a place that actually they could come and utilize and would be designated. We looked into it a little bit more. We realized, you know, this is something that we probably need to get to the county and get their approval on, because if we're going to allow people in and kind of advertise it as open for camping, that was something that there was going to be requirements on. If you, as you can see on the property, it's a total of, eventually, there would hopefully be 35 campsites, 17 for vehicles and 18 for tents that are really only kind of walkable in there. The camp area, I mean, that's long-term. That obviously wouldn't start out with that initially, but the what you're looking at there on the second page is the area where the vehicle campsite will be. That area is already disturbed. That's already been disturbed just through activities of the ranch. So there won't, it is anticipated that we will be doing much to that property other than putting down some type of cover to protect the surroundings, because not only is that just good stewardship, but it's something that the county requires. So where people will be able to park their vehicle, there will be some type of chat, yes, yet to be determined of what we'll put on that site. The green designation is the areas where people will be able to place tents. Again, that's really only walkable in there. It is thought that there will be some areas cleared out for people to place their tents, obviously, but the intent is to keep it really as it is, as it exists now, with a lot of the foliage and things that are around it, obviously to give privacy to the individual campsites, but also just to maintain this place being rural and not having a lot of impact with you know, people coming in there and putting vehicles on that part of the property. So with that, I'm happy to answer any additional questions you might have.
My name's Mark Rollins. As Ed said, I just in May I bought that land from Marilyn. I didn't think Marilyn would ever sell it. I was related to Keith Nay. Keith Nay was my mother's first cousin. So my mother was a Whitney. Whitney Pockets was done by my grandfather and my great-grandfather. I've been coming down to this area, down to the ranch, down to the Whitney Pockets since I was, as long as I can remember. We've held family reunions down there. So after Keith died, I was worried about what would happen with America. So I told Marilyn I'd be willing to buy it from her. And her big condition was that people be able to access it. And as you know, there has been camping there for years and years. And so, I don't know how they did it or why that didn't run in conflict with the county, but she got away with it. So, but we decided that we should get the county's permission. My concern is with the monument coming in, there will be increased oversight of what's going on out there, so I don't want to fall outside the laws of Clark County. So. And I'm happy to answer any questions about what's about. But like I said, the reason Marilyn sold it to me was on the condition that I would find a way to leave it open to people who loved it, be able to go out and camp there, fathers and sons, girls can't, you know. I mean, I think anybody who grew up in Mesquite or Bunkerville or Moapa Valley, one time or another, camped at the Nay Ranch. That'll be true. For many, many years.
This area here is not right where we used to be. This is off
no.
to the side from where the locals go.
Where Mark wanted to keep the, you know, around the orchard, the pond, that kind of area around there, and kind of keep it just how
it
is.
Just how it is.
Yeah, and not do anything there because that's traditionally where everybody has camped, everybody's come out, everybody hang out, swing in the pond. So he wants to kind of keep that the same, just how it is. And then the campground stuff would be over, you know, towards the firehouse on the hill up there.
Okay.
Back right. over in that area where nobody's ever used it before, it's never been utilized. And then there'll be some campsites and some RV spots over there.
Most people don't even realize it's part
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, I didn't realize that was part of it over there.
Yeah, it goes all the way.
almost to
both
the
sides of the road.
So is that going towards Graves' house place there?
Well, we sat around Graves.
Yeah, yeah.
You can
is
see
on the other
entire,
side of Graves?
The entire Trent, site's on the front page.
Trent actually has two separate pieces of property.
What's their,
with
their
the line owned. Between, and they're completely surrounded by the Nays.
They have an easement through the Nays, right? That's how it works, or
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, it's not like an actual easement, but you, know, you can't block them out anyway. But both of those roads that come through are completely surrounded on both sides by the property, all the way to the state line on
okay.
both ends. But the original orchard, all that stuff's going to stay just well, how it is.
And the intent is when fathers and sons come out, they would camp there, but you have to designate campsites if you're going to get a campground okay. permit. So,
sure.
So, just guess questions. Bathrooms out there. What's happening on that water? Just curious.
Well, as you know, there's one sort of semi bathroom out there. I don't know if you've ever been out
yeah.
there.
Yeah,
we'll use that one.
So we are going to this winter. We are taking that and we're going to cut that into four individual bathrooms. So there will be. Individual, so you won't have one bathroom that everybody lines up for, you'll have four that they can line up for.
Right, so you know where the pond is and the little bathroom
right
there, so the plan is to either take that down completely or to extend it out so there's a couple bathrooms on each end with a room in between where people can come and change clothes, you know, kids, whatever, swimming, so there will be at least four bathrooms right there, along with, and then I know, like, it's something, of course, in the future, like for a dump station or whatever, that's further on in the future, because I know, like, now people leave empty pockets, they hit the road, they pull their sewer and drive down the road.
Yeah, we don't want that. Mr. Chair, for the record, that would be Corey Houston.
Oh, sorry. Corey Houston, we don't know. Sorry.
Yeah, for the record.
You can't count how many people you follow down that road with their sewer dumped open driving down the road. So that's one thing that Mark had talked about, like, that we'll need to go through the county also and get approval, is to have a couple of dump stations out there so people can dump their sewer in a dump station rather than dumping it down the road on their way out.
That would be through the Southern Nevada Health Department.
Or through the Health District, sorry.
And Marilyn Kirkpatrick, your commissioner, sits on that board, so we can have that discussion when we need to.
Yeah.
I'm a little curious, just in my head, is how many people will come to here have to drive over the road that's not maintained really awesome with RVs and stuff.
That's really hard to say, but
I'm curious.
Like this last year over the spring break.
Oh, yeah, it's packed out there on spring break.
200 RVs out there at Whitney Pockets, all packed in at Whitney Pockets and all dumping their sewer on the ground and cruising on out, leaving their trash. I mean, every time I drive through there, we stop with my kids, jump out, pick up trash. Definitely improvement from what's there. And Mark wants to make sure that people that come out and camp, they have a place to dump their trash, dump their sewer, they have a little bit of water hookup, whatever. Just some kind of an improvement.
So the RV spaces, will they have sewer and water hookups
yes.
there?
Yeah.
Eventually, they'll have water for sure right now. And then sewer, of course, we'll have to deal with the health district on that. And
will they let you use that spring for?
Not for potable water, but
yeah,
you know, you wash your hands, wash your dishes, that kind of stuff.
That sounds like a nightmare dealing with
that
the health
would be a
district.
Nightmare.
I just throw that out.
Which spring do you?
Well, the only one we drink out of right now is right on the property.
I've been drinking out for years.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm a little bit loopy, but.
Well,
I was just thinking of the health department. And,
that's just something that, you know, bridges across down the road for sure.
And there's a culinary spring where all the culinary water comes.
Oh, yeah.
Runs in the houses and stuff.
Right.
It's way over on the other side of the property. So,
is the plan here to charge fees for camping or not?
Depends on who you are.
We can't say that. The thought is, there would like that flexibility.
Like,
we like that flexibility.
You know, like...
Genesis.
Oh, did I say... Can we have that last comment?
What you meant to say was, there will be a fee.
There will be a fee.
Eventually, but it'll be a minimal fee, like $5 or $6 a night, you know, per person. So it's not like exorbitant. It's just kind of try to cover costs.
I would assume there has to be some understanding that you've got to put some money into it to maintain it.
Just to pay, pay the county for this permit.
And there's nothing to say we could
do something. Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
There's nothing to say we could have something.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. I mean, there's got to be something somewhere, but like Mark said, the first time when I actually met him, I said, well, I got a bunch of campers lined up for you know, fathers and sons, scouts and stuff. Like, what do you want to do about that? And like, send them, you know, keep them coming. So there's no problem as far as that goes. And I think that as far as charging a fee for camping, it's just a matter of like maintenance. So there's actually something coming in, pay the taxes, whatever. Right. So it's just not a big money pit. It's not, Mark's not trying to make a fortune off of camping, obviously. It's just so there's something there.
The only concern that I have personally heard about it is traffic. And I heard a conversation right there I think is an awesome idea, is letting people know you can't get to the Grand Canyon through that road, because there are quite a few people that ask me where this is, and I'm like, hey, you're on the wrong road.
I have read you know? People from every single continent, from probably every country.
Google Maps and, Apple Maps both tell you to go that way.
I'll second that. I also have firsthand experience with people being stuck out there.
Knocking on your door probably out there, gate.
In the middle of the summer, people are out there with cars that aren't amenable to
no water, you know, blown tires. This is Jimmy White that owns Wyoming Springs, if you guys don't know.
That's one thing to kick back to BLM. We've been trying to get the county to repave that road forever so that's not a disaster. And sounds like the county's kind of saying we're not going to touch it now because BLM's saying it's a national monument. And so now we got a little concern there, and no one wants to take responsibility for it to maintain it now, from what I'm hearing. I don't know if...
That's what I got from the county.
So we can public comment that conversation,
all right,
if you will.
Okay.
Because that's not in front of you.
So. More questions, anybody? Concerns?
I think it's a great idea.
Public, any other concerns? You got any concerns with it?
No.
Okay. You want to make a motion here then?
I'm the motion guy. I'll make a motion that we accept the Arvada Springs plans for Nays Ranch as delineated. How's that?
Perfect.
Second.
Okay, it's moved to second that we approve this planning meeting agenda item UC 08-4917 as submitted. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries 4-0.
Thank you.
So, gentlemen, if you'll just stay.
Yeah, no, we'll stick around. Yes, we need to.
Excellent.
All right. General business. Board to discuss the following budget item. Possible installation of stop sign at First West and Second South for discussion and possible action.
So, Mr. Chair, you know that we recently approved the board's approval,
right,
but it hasn't gone before the BCC yet, so I added something last time to Wapa Valley, and if you all want to discuss this, we can add it to your budget request as well.
Well, Vern put it on there. Well, I put it on for Vern. But.
Right. I got a text from a member of the community that lives at that corner of First West and Second South.
By the post office?
No, it's the one
block
this
way.
Danielle lives on the corner.
Yeah, Danielle's on one corner, Tierlink's on the other corner.
Okay, that's on Burgess.
The burn house on the other corner. Anyway, his concern is in the afternoon when the sun is shining and people are coming to the west, driving west, the sun's in your eyes, kids are out there playing, and it's a hazard. And they come flying down there. Well, I've driven, walked by there and looked at it, and they shouldn't be coming too fast if they're going the speed limit, which is 25 in all of Bunkerville. There's a stop sign at Main. There's a stop sign at Second West. So it's not a huge stretch,
right,
at least compared to...
There must be a stop sign for the north and south.
Correct. There's a stop sign north and south.
This would make a four-way stop.
It would make it a four-way stop, which So we're talking right here. First west, second south.
And here's my idea on the streets of Bunkerville.
Stop signs here and here.
Mr. Chair, one second. I'm sorry, stop signs are where? They stop them this way?
No, they stop them north-south.
They stop them this way, but not this way.
Yeah, and there is a stop sign for east-west here, and, well, that road doesn't go through, but there is a stop sign there, so they don't just make a turn on the second west.
Okay, and then what about these two?
This one has a...
Same direction.
This one has a...
North-south?
No, I think it's different on first south. I think it's a east-west here, and no north-south.
At the church?
By Paul and Ado's and the church.
No, it's straight through on first south.
Paul and Ado's
it's east-west.
North-south, straight through?
No, the street's going east-west.
First south.
East-west, straight through.
North-south have stop signs.
Okay, hit second west, that's the only stop sign.
Well, Mike, I don't have a big concern. I'm for safety for these kids. I'm also for parents watching out for their kids.
Sure.
And I'm for our people in cars driving the speed limit. I mean, I get it. I live on Virgin Street, and that's a long street with no stop signs. So, and people do. They get flying, especially by the time, well, they get flying when they're coming in, and they get flying when they're coming by my house at Main Street.
We have a guy that lives right here that usually takes care of most of that.
Yeah, we have a police officer that lives right there. So the people coming on, they better be careful.
I will have to ask what this entails. If it entails a traffic study, I'd be...
Well, here's my thing. If you look at the roads of Bunkerville made, so you can pick the right roads and not have to stop at every single block.
Yeah.
You know, if you think about it. And you know, I only take certain roads because I don't want to stop. You know, you start throwing, honestly, you start throwing aside one there, you ought to put one at every single intersection there is.
Well, that, and in that's the whole town. I understand that we want safety, but I also understand that we don't want to stop every...
Why don't you tell them throw one of those little guys that has the flag saying slow down, right in the middle of the road.
Or you can get your license plate and sign a complaint. It's really simple.
Yeah, you can take that.
Turn right down, you fill out a complaint, you can turn it in, and they'll write them a ticket. It's really simple.
Right.
At least talk to them and say, look.
Yeah, why punish everybody for one or two idiots?
So that's kind of the way I like Bunkerville that way, because you can't pick the right roads and not have to stop every single time. So.
Well, again, there's a stop sign in Maine, there's a stop sign on 2nd West. So you put another stop sign, and now you've got it
right
in between two, and it's such a short distance anyway.
I say let's educate.
I agree. Yeah, I think that would be great.
You want to talk to Colton and kind of tell him the concerns?
Yeah, I don't mind
him
doing a traffic study if that's what it takes. And I kind of mentioned that to him. I said it may take a traffic study, and it may. And I encourage Colton to be here tonight, but he may be out of town. Who knows? I don't know what's going on. But
well. Maybe we'll table this, and then our next meeting that we have something else on the agenda, let's have him come and let's have him kind of prove his point to us so that we can discuss it with him in an open meeting.
Yeah.
Good with that?
I think that's
not as a special item, but when we have a next meeting with an agenda item or a meeting, let's put it on there.
Okay.
If everyone's good with that.
Okay, so we'll table this one. Do we need to make a motion to table?
Please.
Yep.
Okay. I've done all the motion. Well, you did a motion. Okay. That's good.
I move that we table this item to our next meeting about the stop sign on First West and Second South.
Second.
Okay, it's moved and seconded. We table this item to next meeting. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Okay, comments by the general public. Here's what we'll ask the question there about that road there. Now that we'll bring it right up here, see what the BLM says with the county here. We'll have a little boxing match.
Well, there's nobody here from the county.
Oh, Candace is here.
We'll back her. We're on the town board.
Well, my name is Lee Kirk. I'm the acting monument for Gold Butte National Monument. So this is my third Bunkerville Town Board meeting. I'd like to come here kind of give updates on any projects that are going on in Gold Butte. So I'll start with that first, and I'll hit the roads kind of at the end, I guess.
Okay.
We did just complete construction around Devil's Throat. We removed the existing fence and put a new fence around it. So it is further back, so again, you won't be able to see it. We are working on getting a kiosk there with some interpretive information so we can see what it would look like. But that's going to take time to develop and get more information on it. So
going
and I'll interpret that.
We need a tower so you can go stand up there and look over the fence.
So I can have a picture. So that's one of the projects, you know, kind of gave an update, but it's finally done. It's constructed. It got done last Thursday.
That's just 4 foot, right?
Sorry?
4 foot?
Yeah.
Was there any concern that because people can't see in it, they'll jump over the fence and endanger themselves more than before?
I think that's probably always going to be a concern.
There are signs, though, right? There are at least
there is. What I've seen pictured, there's one sign that says, you know, dangerous, loose, and that kind of stuff. And there was actually a YouTube video where someone was actually hopping over that existing fence, and they were hopping anyway.
The signs.
We don't know anybody that's ever climbed down in that either, do we?
So, you know, that's something we'll keep in mind. I understand that. You know, that's why I wanted to bring it up, and that we knew that was going to be an issue that'd be further back. And so,
boy, I've lived here all his life, and he's never been there.
I don't think I've ever seen Devil's Rope.
But I remember going as a kid with my dad, and I've been with my kids since then. And I mean, it's a
great big thing.
I think it's a
great
big thing.
Yeah, it's most of my time on
the ground.
Getting out of the heat.
But couldn't you put, like, say, a 4 or 5 foot wide, steel fenced alley towards it, and then block it off so people could see, and then you could move that part of the fence back as it caves in, you know what I mean? So you get like 10 feet away from it, and you can look down in there. Because you know people are going to climb over it. In fact, I'll give it a month, and the fence will be cut down.
And, you know, they had our engineers kind of had the geoscience, start geotechnical, and so they kind of took soil samples was based off that. So,
of where it's stable.
Yeah, and so it's something we can look in the future.
So how far back from the edge do you know? Have you been out there? Or no?
I've been out there, and it's where you can kind of see the top, and you just know it's like that one fence was like starting to go into it.
20 feet, 30 feet, 40 feet?
Obviously, it's 60.
There's 60
several,
feet?
It's far.
I mean, there's several fences.
It's far away. Yeah.
What
did
they do if the other fence was there?
They just removed it.
Do you know how deep it is?
How deep is it?
It's pretty deep.
I mean, 200?
I don't know, maybe 150.
You haven't gone down any yet?
That's a pretty good fall.
Oh yeah, it wouldn't be good.
That's why I kind of gave it the heads up, but I'm sorry. Yeah.
Oh, very good.
So we can come up with in the future ways so people can still view it. In the meantime, we're trying to develop at least a kiosk of some sort so we can just see what it'll be
with
like.
A photo.
There lies the problem too. Why set up a stand with a picture of the thing when you're standing right next to it and you actually walk over there and look at it? And if it's easy enough to do it, I mean, there's all kinds of options to be able to walk over there and look at it. Rather than just put a picture of it.
Yeah, like I said, there's some options in the future, and I'll keep it in mind.
Or I cover your rare society.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
We are working on getting some funding. The Friends of Goldview have got funding from REI to help with some of the kiosks, such as Devil's Throw, the Goldview Town site. They're also might get funding through the OHV program to help with directional signs, so replacing some, adding some new ones along the backcountry byway. Some that are damaged or missing or just aren't there. So we're still in the process of getting a cost estimate. We have a Wyoming sign shop that creates the signs for us once we get an estimate on how far they can go off that. So that's kind of where we're at. So hopefully we'll start seeing some signs later in the winter or sometime around that. So I'll keep you guys up to date on that.
I did notice we now have turtle signs.
We installed.
So I've now finally seen a turtle out there after 50 years.
On the sign?
On the sign.
On the sign.
Two turtles.
So we did install some tortoise signs. We also installed some road not regularly maintained, 4x4.
There's the road issue right there. Put a sign.
Did you start that?
You don't have to maintain it.
170.
We started it as you're going. There's that second kiosk that overlooks the bird in the.
Just past Linetti's.
Yeah, we just put past all the private properties. It's that kiosk that's there. And we put one right there. And then as you go to Whitney Pocket, there's one right at the Whitney Pocket intersection and to the Whitney's Ranch. So we put one there also. It's a try to, you know, I'm aware people are using Google. I think what the BLM can try to do is contact Google. And they've talked about it before. And say, hey, you're directing people. So I think there's a way we can try to.
There's the TomTom directs them there. And then I know the stock board. GPS directs them there. Even a sign where you have a kiosk, no Grand Canyon access, it would give them to turn around. There's been people that have been seriously on the edge of death that I pulled out of there in the middle of summer, no water, blown out tires, stuck. And I'm like, what are you doing out here? We're going to Grand Canyon.
I've seen him go over Lime Kiln doing the same thing.
Exactly.
On top of Elbow Canyon.
It's only a matter of time.
Yeah, you can get there, but it's a dang long way to do it.
For the Grand Canyon.
What we might be able to do is just put a sign underneath the
road not regularly maintained, no access to it right there.
That would be really good.
That would be great. Lee, I got a question for you on the roads. Are you also responsible for the BLM area outside of the monument?
Well, I manage the monument, but you know, if there's something related to it.
Legally, I believe that's a yes. I believe so.
It's not particularly my. I don't know if this is a place for it, but down below Oneida Springs, where you make that turn to the right, you know, people accelerate. No, nobody in this room, but people accelerate going down that.
You talk where the guy got killed.
Down that road, when they hit that curve, it's gravel, and you know, I've been out there for a long, long time, and there's probably couple of wrecks there every year. Last year there was one fatality. Yeah. I haven't seen any wrecks there this year. But I mean, something simple out there as that slow, dangerous curve ahead might go a great distance to alleviate that problem. I mean, I'd pay for it myself, but I know I'd
since that big flood, that corner is really bad.
It's a horrible corner. Okay. And the other comment is that you've got the sign up there that says 25 miles an hour. Before you get to it going out that way, a better place for a sign would be coming down the road. You know, at 25 miles where that sign is, you're just going across a flat spot. Nobody's going to drive 25 miles.
And how about like instead of just a silver sign, a yellow sign that represents danger that says 25, you know, before on both sides of that? Because, I mean, I saw that guy's brain, it was just like it was lifted right outside of his head and sitting next to his body. I mean, it's a bad turn. If you don't know it,
there's a lot of that. You can make a case for 100 different signs out there. I understand that, but that curve down there is especially dangerous. And I've probably seen on average a couple of wrecks there when it was all gravel.
He tipped a truck outside there years and years ago.
Yeah, good comments.
I mentioned that we're working on getting more directional signs. Some other signs we'll need to start looking at. We are working at a more permanent portal sign with a rock base. Out there also working with the Corps of Engineers to help design it and put it like a parking lot so people can take pictures of it. So that's still going through the environmental analysis because we have possible disturbance and putting that up. So we're still in the process of looking at that.
Are you waiting until after Zinke comes and might change something, or are you going to do it before that?
I just got to get the, because we're going to have a little parking area and you got to go through the environmental analysis, so that's not done yet.
I just wonder if you wait for him in case he changes something.
Where it's at, I don't anticipate there's any change. Okay. So, but I still have to get it all done before I can move forward because we had some funding to get it done. So, we do have porta potties at Whitney Pocket right now. Those are only until December, but we're working on trying to get a contract to have them extended like until May. And so that's kind of where we're at on that. So hopefully we'll get them beyond that. But right now they're till the end of December for that area. Until we get more permanent in the future, which is future planning, which is down the road. Now to talk about the road. So the Goldview Backcountry Byway was designated the Backcountry Byway, I think, in the early 1990s, something like that. And so I don't know the whole history of it, how it was paved, or why it was paved. And I know it is.
Bunkerville paved that road in 68 or 69. Okay. That's when it was originally paved.
And so it is a BLM road. The county has maintained it over the years. I know it's a concern for them. It's a burden for them. I have talked to the Carr County Public Works.
Kevin.
So we've had a meeting on that. I was working on developing an MOU so we could all be on the same page to what they can maintain, how we'll maintain it. We only have really one road grade operator through the whole district, as you know.
It's paved, though. We don't need a grader.
Well, like, we don't have, I guess, the money to keep it paved, or, you know, so thanks to the county who's been doing some of the potholes and maintaining up some parcels on it. So now there's a national monument, obviously now there's increased traffic. I've been working with them, working on the MOU, and part of that MOU eventually may lead to an agreement where, you know, I just found out the last time.
What's an MOU?
Memorandum of understanding.
Two agencies make an agreement between them.
At this point, we just don't have the means.
And not to beat you up, but that, you know, you're the guy standing there. That was the major frustration. Why would you say, come?
Everybody come here to a crappy road instead of fix the road and then say come.
Get you there safely. And I've talked with Terry, and they're happy to help because they're part of this community. guys, you know, that live down there. So, but asphalt, that's pushing it, saying that it's paved. I mean, Terry's talked about yanking what's there out and just grading it like we do to Lovendale
Trail. They can at least smooth it up once in a while.
It'd be better. I mean, if they, as long as it's graded,
yeah,
graded.
Better. So if there's a way that we can continue to bug the higher powers.
Yeah, they seem to find money for signs and all this other nonsense.
Then maybe we can do the MOU with the folks in Wapa Valley to grade it on a regular basis, which would be lovely.
And I heard about that one program from one of the Wapa Valley Town Board.
FLAP?
FLAP, so if, you know, we can't apply for, I guess, federal or cities or states can apply for, but we can. There's ways to get funding, I just need to have the time to research and find it. So I am working on it, but I can't promise it. Right now, that there's
you're not any worse than before, right?
So, but I am aware of the increased traffic and the increased issues that we're going to see. And like you said, there's more people now at the National Monument. They're not prepared, so I can just tell you we're taking baby steps at this point. We're trying to do what we can. It's probably going to, you know, take some time.
Yeah,
which I have a vast solution, but I don't. I'll just be honest with you, it's going to take time.
The money spent on signs and the fencing you put out there could have bought a couple of those cold patch and fix all the potholes on that road.
The county of cold patch are pretty good, but
well, they have it for,
they have it now since the National Monument. They've shut it down
for at least 8 months.
I mean, it's not a high priority for the county
or
the BLM. There's no high priority status there whatsoever.
You can't fault the county for that because they what they have to gain.
Sure. I don't fault the county.
But now that you've added the National Monument, and I went from seeing maybe I would pass two or three people in a week's time of myself travel up that road every day to passing 10, 15, 20 people every single day. It's a huge, not just a little increase, I mean, it's a huge increase. And the road just in the last 8 months has gone from bearable to like, holy crap. It's bad.
And the other thing I just want to point out is these are not people who are driving SUVs and, you know, they're
passenger tires.
They're driving rental,
little car.
Ford Prius, not Prius. I mean,
it's a Toyota.
Rental cars just have no business being on that road whatsoever. And, you know, by the time we've gone up over the Whitney Pass, I'm only down here about a week every 5 weeks. Because I still have to run my business to pay for the place. So. The number of cars I've seen, and once you're over the Whitney Pass, you've gone through some bad road, and it just keeps getting worse.
Should you put up signage? That
then the other thing is there's no service.
No, they should fix the road.
When they get out there, they get stuck, they have no service, they're only saving grace to somebody like Jimmy or myself or Mark to just come by and say, oh, hey, there's stuff, let's help them out. They're screwed.
Yeah.
That would be another sign to put up, too. Woodruff Road would be no cell service.
Because once you go over Whitney Pass,
it's dangerous.
You're back in the dark ages.
And these are concerns that when Secretary of the Interior was here,
We
met with him. We voiced straight up every one of these concerns, you know, and so it should be known up the ladder that that's a concern.
So you're talking, I could go to final details, have a sign made up for a couple dollars, you know, no cell service. I don't think it's a big deal. I know you probably have to go through some hoops, but if you're the director, let's get her done. No cell service, no Grand Canyon.
Maybe I'll put one on my
on
your fence
on my private property. Yeah. I'll just put a sign up that says no cell service beyond this point.
Yeah, and so I definitely hear everyone saying, and I do know this. I know that road's been a problem. We somehow got to get something so we can start providing wet support and build view from the road, but you know, go to the money and the resources. And, you know, we're just like I said, we're trying. Small right now, that like it's not making a difference. We somehow got to still educate people too to be before you go out anywhere, because you know, because the National Monument doesn't mean all of a sudden you're going to have everything. You know, other parts of the BLM, you've got to do your research, you got to know what you're doing. And if we even get that sense, hey, I'm going to have something, so education is part of just like the stop sign. People got to prepare that. Even if you have in Red Rock, where it's some places remote, you can get stuck and get lost, and you're not prepared.
The majority of people that I stop and talk to, they're like, you know, from all different countries, they're showing me, they're like, this is a national monument. Where's the lawn? You know? Seriously. So when they see national monument, they expect amenities.
They think national. Yeah,
it's really not a big deal.
They think national.
Well, I'm not saying we won't do that.
I mean, it's a couple bucks. Yeah. And we're not going to educate the public. You're never going to educate the entire public. And we're talking about all over the entire world. Like I said, people from every country.
Most of them are getting there through Google.
Through Google or through their little GPS that they have in their rental car.
They just don't understand. They just don't know.
Well, if I get my campground permit, then I can put up signs and say, this is your last place.
Last gas for 100 miles.
if they make it that far.
I'm sorry. That was meant as a joke.
I don't think I'm being defensive. I definitely hear you. And so I had someone call me and yell at me for 30 minutes about the road.
Yeah, I don't guess you would. The road's been screwed since they paid them, 68? The road's been screwed since, like,
7 miles.
Yeah. That's why I put the not maintained road, kind of starting, but, so that's a good idea.
Well, the no cell service, no Grand Canyon, that'll at least stop a few problems.
That's the big thing. Four-wheel drive, you know.
That's the one they're putting up, right?
And their one is that up, right?
Those are up, yeah.
Okay, I've been seeing them, and then no cell service.
They got the same sign going up over Elbow Canyon. It's about the same shape.
Yeah.
Primitive road, no maintenance.
Yeah.
So I actually thank you guys for the feedback. Appreciate it, and I'll start jumping on and get a list, and we'll start meeting.
We'll try not to yell it for 30 minutes, maybe 25, but not 30.
I think I've seen more branded caravans on that road than I've seen in Australia.
We just started tow business.
It is bizarre.
They'll only go once.
California plate. I know there's another rental car getting locked down there.
And Red Rock, the same thing. Rocky Gap Road, people take rental cars up that. Huh? They've been on that road. If it's off the same drive and you go up, it's brutal. People get caught up in there too. It happens.
I'll be on the next agenda for an auto service center.
Yeah, I'm thinking you got prime location. Dollar a gallon water.
But again, thank you guys. I do have a business card. You guys can call me, keep up, and let me know. Try to respond. Try to address these and put some signs up. Work with maintenance to get them up a sign order and get some stuff put up.
Okay.
So again, thank you for this feedback.
Appreciate it.
I'll get through right away. Just harassing me.
Oh, she just gave us an open.
My best.
You know, lots of people that can scream for half.
Any other comments by general public on other items? Okay, if not, we will adjourn this meeting.
Well, I got something. This is for the park. We've got a light by the play structure that's out, one of the big, tall lights that's out. This is for our Parks and Rec. And then the one further east from that, up, that's kind of up in the trees, it's semi-lit. It needs a bulb, something.
Can you catch Glenn and show which ones they are?
I can.
That's the easiest way, when Glenn's out there, just point to him and he'll take care of him.
Yeah, I walk pretty early in the morning and Glenn gets there pretty early, so I see him.
Yeah, Monday, he's there Monday mornings, I think Thursdays.
Yeah.
I do have a question though, Janice.
Yes.
I don't know if it's still going on, but did the county sub the maintenance in the cemetery out? The cemetery.
Yes, it has been to a private landscape company.
Why?
Cost.
Glenn and another guy spent a day up there, and that's more expensive than hiring somebody to come and do it?
I went out there when they did the bid to see what they wanted to do with Glenn, as to what they wanted to do, and then they were going to do a cost analysis and decide if it was easier and cheaper, because it sounds like they're getting less and less maintenance guys, because Glenn covers here. And also all the stuff in Logandale. Mm-hmm. I think they're getting less and less guys, and so they're subbing out stuff like that instead of having them take care of it.
So what was the sub? What was the price?
I never saw it.
It's like $25,000 a month.
Yeah, probably.
That's what
Mr. Houston.
Yeah, I don't.
Sorry.
I don't know how much it was. I was just with Glenn.
I'd
just
be
said,
interested
here's what
to
I do.
Know.
Would you be interested to know?
I would. I'd like to know.
We'll ask Amelia to find out.
Okay.
And thank you, Mr. Chair, because I had no idea.
Yeah. Okay. Any other comments? Okay, now we'll adjourn the meeting.
I'm opposed to the stop sign on the
on that first one.
Corey's like, I live right there.
Okay,
we're done. There's nothing on here.
There's nothing
apparently
on.
Not.
We don't have any more meetings ever.
No.
See you next year.
It says the 30th.
Yes, it does.
We'll have that on the 30th.
Brian.
November.